Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. This is really January 1st, and I'm going to cover 4 weeks in this to kind of like catch me up almost to current time. That way, the next time I do an episode in the new year, I will be caught up. It's New Year's morning. It's 0 degrees outside with a feels like temperature of minus 11. Didn't get to take Harley for a walk. Kind of bummed out about that. I did scrape the sidewalks. It does look like it's already frosted over again. But there wasn't a lot of snow. It looks like it's blowing, like because of the wind. It's kind of like blowing the snow around. Did go to New Mexico for the holidays. We had a good break. Had a rough time getting back. I was driving and it was pretty terrifying because we were driving roughly. We had used the Waze app, which kind of tells you traffic and stuff, and somebody was taking pictures of ice around the Santa Fe area. And Barb was kind of warning me, hey, we're going to hit some patches of ice. But it was weird because it's like you're driving like 65, 75 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden you're on a sheet of ice, and then you feel your car fishtail, and it makes you almost shit your pants because there's cars on the left, there's cars on the right, and there's a lot of traffic from the holidays, people trying to get back. And man, I must have aged about 5 years on that trip. 'Cause it lasted all the way from Santa Fe, New Mexico, all the way to Las Vegas, New Mexico, before it really those ice patches went away, and it was kind of rough. But we had a good break. I ate lots of tacos, ate lots of Mexican food, New Mexican food. Had the best carne adobada plate I've ever had. Oh my God, it was delicious. We went to a Japanese kitchen where, on the day I graduated, I proposed to Barb. So we had I had invited my parents, Barb's parents, my aunt and uncle, and that's where I proposed. That was like a great day. Like, it was just a great day. I had graduated college. I already had a job lined up in Colorado. It was like just a lot happening. I spent some time with some close friends. I went out to dinner, proposed, and then for some reason, I don't remember going with Barb, but I went to see my friend play. They had a band. He was also an engineer, and he graduated, but he had a gig that night on the day he graduated, and it was a band called Dead Leonard, and they're kind of like, I really wish I could have a CD because the tape I worn out. This is kind of dates where I'm ages. I had the cassette tape of Dead Leonard, but they're a very like new age. I think there's a band called the Suicide Kings. I think that's what they're called. Or the Suicidal Machines or something like that. That's what Dead Leonard sound like. They were pretty fucking amazing. And all I have is a cassette tape, which I can't find, but I gotta look for it because I'd like to play it in my car. But I went with there with my best friend, Regina. And we listened to them play. So it was just like a, God, I was like an amazing day. And I was ready to start my life. Where was I even going with this shit? Oh, but we went to the Japanese kitchen with my parents and Barb's parents, and we had a good time. I didn't re-propose, but it was a good time. They cook in front of you. They light the volcano on fire. They do the salt and pepper shakers and stuff. And I knew that Barb knew something was weird because I never drink beer. And before I proposed, I ordered beer. And I don't even like beer. The last time I had beer, I had got gout. And I've never liked alcohol. Like, it just doesn't do anything for me. It's probably a good thing because alcohol is expensive, man. And you kind of just piss it. Like, you drink it, you enjoy it, and then you piss it. I'd rather accumulate physical product. I don't know. That's just my weirdness. So it's just more money for comic books for me. But I do have my things that I think are delicious. I love Buffalo Wild Wings. I love that. I'm into a taco fanatic right now. I am so glad we don't have a Pericos next to us because, man, I would be eating tacos like nobody's business. These are the best tacos. And I asked my dad who makes the best tacos, and he goes like my dad goes places like on Taco Tuesday. Like he'll go several different places, and he doesn't even do Taco Tuesday anymore. He just goes to Pericos because he's like that's the best taco ever. And they have the standard meat, ground beef and potato taco, and man, it just tastes like old school. It's so good. And then they have the shredded beef. Oh my God. And their salsa is hot, and I love it. It's so tasteful and hot. It's just a perfect. And I asked Barbara's aunts who made the best tacos, Perico. Everybody was saying Perico. So these are like taco people that eat a lot of tacos, and so it's the best place for tacos if you could go there. It's worthwhile. I can't remember the place where I had the best carne alvada, but man, it was delicious. And at the Japanese Kitchen, we had the tempura with the vegetables, and all their dipping sauces are amazing. They give you miso soup. They give you salad with the house dressing. We had tempura, and that's beer. It's battered like, I mean, not tempura, calamari, but it's battered like in the tempura battering sauce. And that was just appetizers. And then I had the chicken teriyaki, which they cook on the grill with bean sprouts. I love bean sprouts, man. Japanese French fries. God, I just love them. And a lot of people in my family will leave the bean sprouts, so I'm like, I end up with this big old pile of bean sprouts on my plate. But it was a great holiday vacation. One of the big things that I found was amazing is one day, I think it was before Christmas, I went to spend Barbara's helping cook pozole with her mom, and I went to my parents to hang out for a while, and my parents had their like photo album out and like old pictures of me and my brother, and I was just like reminiscing, man. I had a fucking good life. It's one thing that's amazing, you know? It's just looking at these pictures, and then I got to see I don't know if I've ever seen this before, but I've seen a picture, but they had the whole wedding album of my parents' wedding, and it was pretty fucking amazing. And I got to see a lot of relatives. My parents have a Christmas party, and I usually see the usual, but I got to see my Uncle Billy, and that was really special because I don't get to see him much. And I don't know, it's just a good time. I always go see Barb's aunts and uncles, and we spend time with Barb's parents, which I love, and my parents. And then sometimes one of the things that we're very fortunate is both of our parents get together. In other words, there's no in-law friction. And my parents and her parents, they do stuff together. So it's like a good situation. I fucking lucked out, man. There's like no stress that some people get between in-laws or family during the Christmas time. You just feel welcome and it's just a fun time. And then Santa came on Christmas. And Nerdy Legion might say there's no Santa, but I know there's a Santa. So, Santa shows up. He wraps all his gifts in white. Me and Barbara have a stocking. And there's all kinds of goodies in the stocking. And it was a good Christmas. Couldn't ask for better. And I didn't get sick, knock on wood. My dad had a cold, and usually I'm a trap for disease to get in my system, and I didn't. So yeah, it was a really pleasant New Year's. Was pretty mild because the weather. We were back home already. We decided not to go out because it was snowing all day and there were accidents near our house. So decided to stay in. We chilled, watched some TV. We saw that Bird Box. It was pretty freaking awesome. Like I thought it was a really good story. I really enjoyed it. We watched She's Having a Baby, the Kevin Bacon movie. We watched a lot of TV. What was the other one we watched? Crap, I already forgot. Watched like three movies yesterday. And then I watched some more Krypton. For those of you that are Superman fans, if you could take your pull up your big boy pants and watch something a little bit different. Krypton. It's very true to the comic while being so different. And it goes back two generations. Like Sig-El was before, I think his son becomes Jor-El, and then they talk about his father. They had his father and then his grandfather, so it's going back many generations. And then the thing that they did, a little glimpses, is they opened up this vault and there was Doomsday, and they have like all this just awesome. It's so good. It's all sci-fi. It all takes place on Krypton. And what the big thing is they have their caste system, and then they have the spirit of Rao, who's the religious system, and he kind of controls Krypton, and he kind of keeps things segmented. Like you're in this caste system, and the poor are the poor, and the rich are the rich, but you have your science, your different guilds. And they have the Zod Guild, and they're like the military guild, and they're pretty freaking amazing. And the thing is you have one of the Zods fall in love with an El, a Sig. And then you have like the Senate class, Nissa. I think her Nissa Vox. I think that's her name, Nissa Vox. She's absolutely gorgeous. Oh my God, she's beautiful. It's like an Amazon queen. Holy bully. But, her father's a jackass. You have all this intense politics, intense action. You have Adam Strange coming from the past to try to save the future because the main villain is Brainiac, and Brainiac is heading towards Krypton so he can put a bottle around Kandor, and then that actually causes Krypton to explode when he takes Kandor away. Hence, Kal-El gets rocketed to Earth. And it's weird because Adam Strange is there on a Zeta beam trying to keep the course. So he actually wants Brainiac to win. So he's got his motives. Zod returns from the past and actually talks to his mother because he has his motives. And you have this Black Order thing going on, and it's just amazing. It turns out to be an amazing show. I'm at the edge of my seat. I have two more episodes to go. I am so glad I didn't pass on this. I'm seeing other sci-fi advertisements because I recorded these. And man, it looks like sci-fi is just kicking ass on all cylinders. I need to watch more of their programs. But yeah, it's really cool. One of the things I did for my dad when I was there is they're raising his cable rates. Cable goes up, and my dad's like, I want to get stations in the garage where I work in the garage. I want to have the guest bedroom to have stations because they were charging per node, Comcast, and he wanted to have. So we got him these digital antenna, and I helped him put them on. And these things go like 20 miles, 30-mile radius. And man, I couldn't believe all the channels they got. They had like MeTV, Heroes and Icons, all kinds of stuff with retro stuff. They have Laugh for comedy. I was like, this is badass. Plus, you got your local stations. So I think what I'm going to convert are two of our TVs over to local over-the-air stations, and then keep DirecTV, but then downsize. Man, this is like, what the fuck is this episode? It's just so odd, huh? That's a little wrap up. You could deal with it. But I had a lot of intentions to read. To read comics over there, and what I ended up finding is I got sucked into the world of Venom, and you'll see this in upcoming weeks. But and this is weird how it started, how rabbit holes start. But I had an intention of finishing X-Men Blue, because before that I was reading Uncanny X-Men, the new launch, and I was. Around the first three issues, I was like, this is all right. This is sort of mediocre. I wasn't really feeling it. But when they get Nate Gray X-Men in there, and they get like this Age of Apocalypse vibe going on, and you brought Legion in, and you have all this conspiracy and stuff going on in an X-Men comic with all the players in the picture, I was like, wow, this is awesome. So I got caught up on Uncanny X-Men, and what that did. This is the rabbit hole shit. Okay, this is the rabbit hole shit I talk about. That led me down a path. And it's like, okay, I'm going to finish X-Men Blue. Because I already finished X-Men Gold. And I was like, I'll finish X-Men Blue. So I get in there and I'm like, where did I leave off? Well, I left off with a crossover with Venom. It was called, God, I forget what those things were. They're like anti-symbiotes. They take over. They're like seeds and they look like plant creatures. And, I was like, where did I leave off? So I left off here and I was in the middle of crossover. So I like read one issue and it was part three or part two of whatever this series was. So I get onto my Googles. Yes, I like Google. And I Google, show me this particular series. And I gotta look up what this one is. It's The Poisons, I think it's called The Poisons. And I looked it up and it gave me the reading order and it sort of started in Venom and it crossed over into another one shot. It had a Amazing Spider-Man Venom Alpha Amazing Sp Oh, I gotta take credit for those books. I'm so stupid. I forgot about those. Those were the bookends. They were Omega, Alpha and Omega were the bookends, and then it had the series in X-Men Blue and Venom. So I got into this series, and I was like, man, this is fun. And I was reading it like at night, like from 3 a.m. to 6. Like I couldn't sleep too well over there. I slept really good from like 9 p.m. to like 2 a.m. And then Barb would come to bed, and I'd get up. And I read that and I was like, you know what? I'm into Venom. And I kind of was from the Venom movie too. And I was like, it's kind of leading me down that rabbit hole. So I decided I'm going to go back and finish the Mike Costa run of Venom. And everybody's talking about the Donny Cates, but I got into this Mike Costa. I had already read the first five issues where Price, I think his name is Lee Price, he's a new character. Got the Venom outfit, and then he went away, and then Eddie Brock got his costume back, and they jumped in legacy numbering to issue 150. So I read that, and I was like, oh man, I'm starting to feel this. And then I just went on this tear, and I read all of that series, the entire series. So the plans on what I was going to read led me into another event called Venomverse, led me in to read a lot of Venom. I had already read Edge of Venomverse, I think last Christmas or maybe in the f when I went back home, and I was reading these on the iPad, so it's part of the process. And where I read a lot of digital comics is, I didn't use Marvel Unlimited. I used my app, Marvel app, because when I buy a Marvel comic, $3.99 is a lot, but if you think of the value you get for $3.99, it's pretty damn good. Plus, it's discounted at least 40 to 50% at DCBS. But you get your physical comic, Plus, you get a little code you take off and you can load it. And I load all these so when I do read at night, I can read on my digital iPad and I can read it not on Marvel Unlimited, which means if I don't have to wait X amount of months if I wanted to read it now. So I read those that way because I don't have to turn a light on. I can read in the middle of the night, not interrupt anybody. And I got caught up on Venom, so that's kind of like an unplanned activity. I started with X-Men Blue because I was on fire with Uncanny X-Men, the current series, and then went down that rabbit hole. And it led me down another rabbit hole, and I don't remember how I got there, other than I felt like reading some Jason Aaron. So I either could have gone to finish Jason Aaron's run on Doctor Strange, or I could jump on Avengers. And I decided to go down the Avengers path. And I am so glad I did, because I was okay. You had the Celestial Saga where these dead Celestials were falling out of the sky, causing havoc in Earth. And then there was a Celestial buried in the middle of the Earth that was infected with some virus, and the other Celestials were trying to come pick him up. And this whole invasion was sort of led by Loki, which was like reforming the Avengers. And you know, Tony Stark's like, I don't want to reform the Avengers, but they ended up reforming. They did bring in two players that I didn't see coming. They brought in a Ghost Rider, the Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider with the Ghost Driver, they call him. But I really enjoy Robbie Reyes, especially his relationship with his little brother who's handicapped that he has to help raise. The series was very emotional, and then when you find out, I think it was his uncle. It was his uncle that turns out to be one of the demons. A hell demon spawn, and I really got attached to the emotionally to the character. He's not my favorite Ghost Rider, but I care about him a lot. And I was curious to see what I think let me go down the path of Avengers was I wanted some Jason Aaron. Okay, that's one. The other thing is I saw this iconic image of a Ghost Rider riding a woolly mammoth, and I said, oh fuck, that is so badass. So I decided to go down that path, and I'm so glad I did, because that celestial stuff and that infection goes back to like 10,000 BC or whatever it is, where dinosaurs were on the earth and everything. And you had Odin, you had a Ghost Rider, you had an Iron Fist, you had a Star Brand. Various you had a Doctor Strange type character, Armageddon, Armagoddo, I don't know how you pronounce that, the Eye of Armagoddo. You had a Hulk, you had all these different things, and they had disposed of the Celestial. And what Loki was trying to say is that the Avengers are a parasite that needs that is causing all this destruction. And I think he truly believes it. And then it had a weird interlude with Wolverine, because Wolverine was there with Loki, and Wolverine had started this sort of celestial mess to kind of manipulate Loki, which is very weird. And he even admitted it was weird, because as a writer's like, wink, wink, he said, yeah, this isn't usually in my wheelhouse kind of thing, but when Infinity Gems are involved and all that crap, you know, anything could happen. But what really sucked me in, so I was reading, I was like, okay, I'm entertained, I'm entertained, I'm entertained. And then I hit the issue with Namor in it. And I was like, what the fuck? I mean, he just got violent. He lost a lot of his people because they were invading a ship trying to turn around. I think it was a Russian ship in the waters, and they slaughtered his people, a lot of his people. And then I think this is a build-up from other issues of something, and I need to figure out if it's in that Marvel Legacy, because I haven't read that book yet, but maybe that's what I need to read. So, there's a scene in there, and it's brutal. It's so brutal. But Namor goes to recruit Tiger Shark. Okay, so Tiger Shark, yeah, you can recruit him. He calls him his defenders, if you will, but they're all kind of like water-based characters that we've seen. But he runs into Stingray, and you've seen Stingray. He's been around in the Avengers. He's been around when it comes to aquatic stuff. He's an oceanographer. He nearly beats him to death because Stingray is like, "Come on, let's talk this over. I don't want to join you," this kind of thing. In this issue, I thought Namor killed him. Just literally beat the fuck out of him. I mean, just boom, 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 boom. I mean, it was brutal. It's like curbing someone in Sopranos. I was like, holy fuck, he killed this guy. And at that point, I was so shocked. I was like, I gotta read the next issue. So I loaded it. It's extra sized issue. It's issue 11, which turns out to be Avengers 700. So I get into Avengers 700, and I'm like blown away. It was like every story there mattered. I couldn't believe what I was reading. It had a formula with that Tom DeFalco and all these writers in the 80s and 90s did before it became the 90s proper, that sort before trade started to form, where they would always keep a monthly book by doing like three plot lines. It kind of did this stuff. Okay, you got this Namor plot line, which is the driving force. You have this government plot line, which is like Thunderbolt Ross saying, "Hey Cap, I need you to work for the US." And Cap's like, "Fuck you, man. We're international. We represent the world now. Don't rely on us for this." And he says, "You're gonna regret this." Well, you know who Thunderbolt Ross goes to? The Squadron Supreme. And you're like, "Oh, fuck! Holy crap! It's the Squadron Supreme!" And then you got this Namor thing where he's got his whole thing and he's killing a lot of surface people. You know, he's killing a lot of people in the world. And you're like, "Oh my God!" And then they introduce the Soviet super soldiers because they had knocked out that one submarine or that ship that Namor. The Namor's people were killed on. Well, he slaughtered that whole ship. So you get the Russians involved, and then you get the Russians and the Avengers sort of teaming up to take on Namor. And then, oh, it turns out to be a clusterfuck because the Russians don't want to team up with us. Ursa Minor wants to eat people's heads and drink beer. I mean, it was just fucking awesome. And just so much shit going on, so many different plot threads. T'Challa, Black Panther, wants to form like this international relationship, so he forms this table meeting with like Captain Britain, Sabra from Israel, the Arabian Knight, all these people that were in Contest of Champions that were in that comic that I love so much. He goes around and recruits these. He says, "We need to form an alliance, and especially against the situation where we're going into war with the Atlanteans." And it's like all these pieces of the puzzle, and then you throw in just a simple backup with, Reyes, Ghost Rider, talking to Odin, and he's just learning some history, and it's amazing. And then out of the blue, you get Wasp. She's going to Castle Dracula to rescue Blade, and you're like, "What the fuck?" And now Blades wants to be an Avenger, and you're like, "Holy shit! Holy crap!" I don't know. It got me really excited. So I went down the Avengers rabbit hole just by an image of a woolly mammoth and Ghost Rider riding it. And I owned all the physical copies, but I read them digitally because I had loaded them on my iPad, so I didn't take them with me. You're like, "Well, why don't you take physical comics with you?" I did take some, and I did read some. I took some JLA because we're covering some Monkey and Joe Kelly, Justice League. So I took some of those, and I took some Deathstroke, and I read most of that over there. And I took some Justice League to catch up on that, but I got slated with Avengers, and I kind of went down that rabbit hole. So there was a lot of things that happened in my reading plans, and I don't regret a moment. I got to read some great Venom stories. You'll hear a little bit more about some of the plots as we go over the weekly reads. And this Avengers just it blew me away. It blew me away. It was probably the best. I think it was a $7.99 comic. I'll find out the cover price. It was either $5.99 or $7.99. Let's see. It was Avengers number 11. Pull it up on Comic Base, and I did renew my subscription, so everything's good for another year. I love this database with a passion. And no, it was issue 10 that was the big issue. Issue 11 was very unique too, because it's kind of like a different She-Hulk. 700 was issue 10, and then 11 was a relationship issue where She-Hulk and there's this thing going on with Thor and Jennifer Walters. But what makes this unique, when I first saw them bringing in She-Hulk, and I need to finish that old She-Hulk-ish, the one that was just titled Hulk, where Hulk was dead and she was in the main thing. I still need to finish that run, because I don't know where they left her off. Matter of fact, I'm going to queue that up for midnight reading, I think, this week. But I'm missing the piece where she started to turn into a monster instead of like this sexy. I mean, she's always been in control. She's always been a lawyer. She likes being She-Hulk more than she does Jennifer. And then it started to change in that series called The Hulk that featured She-Hulk. And that's when her cousin died, and she was dealing with that, and she was having stuff. And that's when I think she started to morph into this monster. And it's kind of jarring when you first read it, because she's like, she bulks up and she talks dumb like the Hulk, and I'm like, fuck, that's my Hulk, that's my Hulk. And I see why he did it. The relationship between Thor and She-Hulk is very unique, because he's really attracted to Jennifer. But he doesn't mind her turning into this monster. It's so interesting. So that was 11, but a 10 sort of blew my mind. Another thing that blew my mind before this, and I was going to do a special DC episode, but I decided not to because I was lazy before the holidays and there was just a lot to do, was talk about Nightwing, because Nightwing sort of blew me away towards the end of the year. But before I jump into the weekly reads, I'm going to do 4 weeks, like I said. I am going to see if I have any questions. And I have a few. So, old reliable Nick Wetmore from the Nerdy Legion gave me some questions. And I think one of them is based on something I posted, but I put the wrong date. He says, I see you had a few series to read before year's end. Were you able to finish them? And I think he's talking about a post that I posted. I got to complete Men of War. I'm going to complete some Sergeant Rock this year. And when I meant Sergeant Rock, I didn't mean our army at war. I mean completing Sergeant Rock. It's one of my goals. I meant goals for 2019. I was going to complete Marvel 2-in-1. A matter of fact, that transaction is already in work. Thanks, Reed. And it will get me close, and then I'll have to buy like six more issues or so of that series and then have complete it. And there was a few others. Actually, I'm gonna try to complete Welcome Back, Carter. That wasn't on the list, but it is, and that transaction that I'm doing now will get me halfway there. Through mycomicshop.com. But I'm going to be focused a lot on war comics, specifically Men of War. I want to complete Men of War, and that transaction is already in the hopper, and I should have them soon. And then I'm going to be working on my Sergeant Rock run. And then who knows from there what else I'm going to be focusing on. The other thing that happened is I'm going to be working on Marvel 2-in-1. I don't own much Marvel 2-in-1. I don't own much Marvel Team-Up, but those are both transactions that are in the hopper. And they're actually going to happen and get me close to completing those runs. So that's answering your question, but what I meant to do was not complete reading them, but I put 2018 and it's 2019, and there were goals of purchases that I'm going to make. So I hope that answered your question, Nick. Were you able to finish them? No, because I haven't procured them all. But I have been reading Men of War pretty regularly. I have been reading Sergeant Rock, the ones that I've picked up. He says, "What are your next three series events up for 2019?" Well, the only one I have planned is I'm getting caught up on the Justice League. So Scott Snyder's run, that one's queued up. Deathstroke, I only have one more issue to complete to be ca caught up on that. Those short-term goals. I think another short-term goal is to reread that Jennifer Walters Hulk run to so I can transition from that to the Avengers and just see where we left off. I also want to queue up Marvel Legacy because I think there's things in there that there's things that were seeded in that issue that led to Avengers, and I want to know all of it. So those are some things that are in the short term. And the long term goal of series this year is I'd like to read more Superman, and I mean Golden Age Superman. The other thing that I would like to do is read some Master of Kung Fu. And the way I own Master of Kung Fu is not in singles. I have like five issues. I don't have much. But I own the complete series in Omnibus. So I am going to be checking that out. At least that first volume. And seeing if I like it by Doug Munch. Seeing if I like Master of Kung Fu. It looks like I appeal to it. I've read a lot of Shang-Chi modern stuff, like some of his mini stuffs and some when he was in the Avengers, he was in the Avengers around Jonathan Hickman time. So yeah, those are things that are short term I'd like to get into. I also would like to finish me and this is I might do this. I'm hoping that Kyle wants to continue the JLA Monkey and Joe Kelly run because I actually think it's amazing. I think it's fantastic and I want to read more. So, hope that answers your question. You also said, I know you're a mood reader. What series are you backed up the most right now with unread issues? Everything, because I buy everything, Nick. So when I talk about series that I kind of read like you, and then I revisit things like this JLA thing. I should, in reality, if I had any sense, I wouldn't be revisiting it, but I love it so much. I should be moving on things that I have unread. When you buy everything, you fall behind. There's no way. You've seen my averages. I'm averaging about 22 books a week. I buy about 100 books a week. So you see the numbers don't add up, but it's the library mentality. It's the thing that keeps me at peace. So everybody has their own vice. For some people, they like to have beer. For me, it's comic books. It's the number one thing for entertainment that I enjoy in life. Backed up on unread issues, almost everything. Hulk is you said is yours. You have six trades rating. I can't even answer that question on how many. I'm so but I'm years behind, decades. I've been buying like this for at least 2 decades. So imagine that accumulation. Oof. And that doesn't even go into all the collected editions. I recently went to search for that JLA trade. So I own this JLA run. The singles, and I didn't want to lift those particular singles are not in a drawer box. They're in a pile of long boxes, and I didn't want to do that. So I was like, I'm going to look for this trade. Well, I had to navigate through a room that was covered in trades, and I'm talking about waist high. There's no floor space except for the door to open. Trades stacked up. And what I did is I bought some of those trade boxes, which are really good for the standard trade size. And I started loading and cleaning up there, and I still did not find it. I went in there for two things. I was going to find Punk's Not Dead and I was gonna find JLA, and they were literally in the last few stacks that I and JLA, I was almost to give up, and I looked over to the desk, which I couldn't get to, and I said, "I wonder what's on that top stack over there." And sure enough, that was my JLA trades. And I don't have all the JLA. I skipped the Morrison stuff because, yeah, Morrison's run was good for me, but it wasn't like this Manitou Raven stuff. And I want to save my passion for that episode, but I absolutely love this Joe Kelly run, and I'll explain to you. We talked a little bit about some of it on the DC Spotlight with me and Kyle. We talked about the Plastic Man issues, and we talked about some of the issues which were very important leading to the Obsidian Age, and we're going to be talking about the Obsidian Age in the DC Spotlight. And I hope you guys will tune over to DCNoisePodcast.com and go listen there. But I hope that answers your question. I'm behind in everything, and I am more of a single issue trade reader, which is very weird. You're like, why don't you convert to trades? Nothing I do in comics is logical. I'm logical with everything else. I'm logical with finances. I'm logical with everything else, paying off everything. I am not logical with the thing that I love the most. I am logical though in what I can spend and what I can't spend. I know what I can spend and what I can't spend. I don't go outside of my bounds ever. Okay, so I pay off every credit card the day it comes in. I never have a credit card bill due with interest. You got Kirk Spencer, my war buddy friend, says, does binge reading format of TKO Presents make their books more appealing to you? It does for me. That's a good question, and that will be coming up on this episode maybe. Yeah, this episode we'll be talking a little bit about TKO because I didn't binge read anything. I only read digitally their free samples, and I did decide on the format that I was going to purchase, and it was very weird, and I will talk about it when I get to that. Is it more appealing? It is based on what you see my patterns of reading are. My patterns of reading are reading singles like a trade. So this fits that. And the weird thing is I didn't go with the trade, the single issues. And I don't like the way the extra size singles fit in my drawer boxes. So they almost need a magazine box, and because of that, I went with the trades for TKO. And I did come home from Christmas, like it came from the break, and I did look to see if they were offering it at Cowabunga Comics because they said they were gonna do TKO. But I saw that, they were still working things out, and I said, "Fuck it," everybody else was ordering it, so I placed my order for all four trades that are available. And hopefully they'll arrive within the next couple of weeks, provided that I did select the standard shipping option. The next question from Kirk says, are you well stocked on scalp hunter books on your weird Western extravaganza? He keeps on saying I'm going to do a scalp hunter. I'm not sure I have every scalp hunter, but I'm pretty sure because I think I completed Weird Western Tales. Let's go to the database and check it out. Weird Western Tales. Okay. So, I have issues 18 through 71 continuously. So, I believe. Ooh, 48 is the first appearance of Cinnamon. 39 is the first appearance of Scalp Hunter, so I believe I have everything on Weird Western Tales. I am missing, which is a shame, I'm missing 12 through 17, which is no Jonah Hex. One of my goals was to get all the Jonah Hex issues, and he wasn't in these 12 through 17. And Weird Western started at issue 12 and went through 17. Before that, it was called All Star Western. And if I go look at All Star Western in my database and see what I have from that, I know I have the first Jonah Hex appearance, but I know I need to finish this run. First appearance of Jonah Hex is issue 10. I need a few issues on All Star Western. I need issues 3, which is a Neil Adams cover, and issue 5, which is a Neil Adams cover, issue 6, and issue 7, and issue 9. So I need quite a bit there. But once I have those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 issues, plus the issues I said on Weird Western, I have the full runs of those runs, which is a total of 81 issues of Western comics. So we'll see how that goes. Very close. Issue 3 has El Diablo and the Outlaw. Issue 4 is El Diablo and Outlaw. Issue 6 has Wild Bill Hickok and Outlaw. And issue 7 has Outlaw. And yeah, so I do need, where's the Tiger Twins come in? I gotta find do more research. I mean, the Tiger Twins came in on the three-part CW crossover. I was shocked to see the Tiger Twins. It was not really the Tiger Twins, but it was an alternate reality Tiger Twins. And I do need to figure that out, but Issue 9 had Powwow Smith and Batlash. Batlash is a another that's another rabbit hole I need to go down. I don't think I own. I know I own the new Batlash, which was Palmiotti and Gray, but I don't own the 7 issues of Batlash. Yeah, I own the second one. That was a good series, a really good. That wasn't Palmiotti and Gray. That was Peter Bradfield with Sergio Aragonés and John Severin on art. So that was that a 6 issue that was published in 2008. But there is a volume 1 that I need to hunt down for Western Comics. So yeah, man, I these questions can make me do just another episode. Any resolutions? Yeah, my resolution was to complete those series that I answered below, which is there's a handful of there's the two Marvel series, some War series, Welcome Back Carter. There's a couple of other ones that I'm going to complete. I think I'm going to add Weird Western, All Star Comics, or All Star Western to that because I'm so close to having the full runs. The other one is to lose weight, and what made me say that is when I got gout, it hurt so bad to walk. And I'm like, why am I putting all this goddamn weight on my feet? I shouldn't weigh this much. And before Christmas break, I lost, I don't know, about 6 pounds, 7 pounds, pretty fast, just by calorie counting and then exercising. So I would have this app, it's called Lose It on my phone, and I basically put in all my exercise, what I'm eating. And I stopped during it during Christmas break, so I regained 3 pounds, but I'm very disciplined again now, and I'm watching what I'm eating. So my goal is to lose 20 pounds. And for me, that's a big deal because I haven't been under my weight that which is ridiculously my weight is ridiculous for being 5'2", okay? It is. A matter of fact, it's where the doctors will say, "Man, you're gonna get diabetes." It just so happens to be my blood work is always coming in pretty good, so I want to really lose. It's one of those goals that I'm going to make happen. I'm not fucking around. I'm going to make it happen. During the holidays, it's a little harder because you can't exercise the way you want. The weather's a little weird, but I did make it a point to walk 2 miles every day when I was in Albuquerque, and so that's one of my main health goals, and just to be more active because I think the more active I am, the better I breathe, the less asthma that I have, the less asthma medication that I have to take. It'll also help manage eating better. It's things like gout, flare-ups, all kinds of other things. Kirk says, "Will you come?" Drew asked about the resolutions, and he says, "Can you think of any New Year's themed comics settings or storylines?" And absolutely cannot. I can think of Thanksgiving, Halloween, and Christmas issues, but I don't remember any New Year's comic books. And it could be real subtle that they're real subtle, and I just don't remember them. It could be that they're not memorable to me. It's hard to gauge that. Because New Year's is a weird time, my friend. It's a time of reflection, to reflect on what happened, things that you did wrong, things that you did right, things that you want to improve, things that didn't go right that you had no control over. You started assessing, well, how can I control those? How can I make things better? And then you always go into the new year thinking, well, I'm going to try to do that. Sometimes you meet your goals, sometimes you don't. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. It's just going to happen. It needs to happen if I am going to live with comic books a little bit longer and keep the industry alive and keep my passion alive. Because when you're sick and deathly ill in a bed, you don't really feel like doing much anything and you become depressed. So I don't want that. I want to be healthy. I want to be active. I want to be reading comics till the day I die and enjoying my life with my wife and my family, who I love very, very much. So hope that answers your question. Man, this episode is already hitting on the 51-minute mark, and I haven't even gotten to the weekly reads. The next question from Kirk is, will you come to Georgia and help me get organized? I would love to. If I was retired, I'd fly down there and help you out, but in exchange, you would have to fly down and help me out. And that's a lot of work. We'd be lifting boxes, we'd be replacing long boxes with drawer boxes. We'd be merging. You would have a hell of a time there. And he says, please bring some of that Mexican food that you tweet pictures of. And I would love to. I just don't think it would keep. God, that was such a good meal. I had asked for a tortilla with my carne adobada, and I just scooping it up. I mean, that plate was clean, and then the beans were delicious, refried beans, and they had really good Spanish rice because I think they use Rotel tomatoes. And what that adds is spice to it adds to a spicy to the Spanish rice to make it spicy. It's delicious. And then they bring you with your meal two sopapillas. And then I use honey. Oh God, it's delicious. I love sopapillas. Matter of fact, I was torn. Do I get a stuffed sopapilla with carne adobada, or do I just get the plate? And I was pretty happy with the plate, and then just using the sopapillas is kind of like a dessert with honey. So, yes, if I was retired, I'd love to. I got a busy year ahead of my friend, and I won't be able to come. What else do we talk about? I think that's all on questions. So let me go through and get into the weekly reads. We will start at November 26th through December 2nd. We'll start at the bottom. There were a total of 18 comics. Not a good week for reading, but a very distributed week for reading. We had three Waxwork, one Source Point Press, five, one Red 5, one Kickstarter, one Image, 8DC, one Dark Horse, one Black Mask, one Alternative. I'll tell you one of my resolutions. I am going to cut back on Kickstarters. I am frustrated as hell with some of these people. And it's a shame that others will have to suffer because of the mistakes of. I would say it's a 50-50 gamble. 50% are bad, 50% are good. This one that I'm talking about was excellent, and I would support this one again if it comes out with an issue two. But we had one Image, 8 DC, one Dark Horse, one Black Mask, one Alterna. We'll start at the bottom. There was a 2 out of 5. Nightwing 42. This was a guest team writing it, and there's a reason I didn't like it. It was Nightwing going through different fight cycles to save Damian, and it was almost like a video game, like Kung Fu Fighter, or I forget what these damn games were, where you'd go from one, like you'd go one level and then climb some stairs, and then you'd be on the other level and you'd fight some more guys, and then you'd go to another level and fight some more guys. That's what this felt like, and I've never liked when they do this. They did this shit in Moon Knight. Warren Ellis did it. Didn't like it. So I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it. So not a fan when things like mimic video games. Sometimes I like comics and never played the video game, but things that mimic 80s video games or things like Scott Pilgrim. Oh God, I didn't like that. So you get into that realm, and that's popular as shit. They made a movie out of it, and I didn't like it. But when you go down that way, I tend not to like it. And I know some people, it's like that was their shit in video games, so it works. Didn't work for me. We then get into the 3 out of 5s. We have Heroes in Crisis number 3. Now this one. I have several people in my inner community, and what I mean by that is I have a pool of friends that I interact with weekly on Twitter. And some of them are closer than others. Some are very, very close to me, and they like this book a lot more than I do. It's been on a downhill climb since issue one for me. But this focuses on establishing a sanctuary as a treatment center and focuses on the issues of Lagoon Boy, Wally, and Booster right before the attack. And that's the attack on the sanctuary before they all get slaughtered. So the art is beautiful, I will say that. But you will see that 95% of the time, I am a story guy. I am not an art guy. Other guys, there's people that art will take you out of a story, and that never happens for me. There are people that almost can't look at a book. You know, I'll be on there'll be somebody posting like, what the hell is this artist thinking? Or who's the artist, DeMundo on Thor? I can't even see what the fuck is going on. And that stuff doesn't bother me. It's all story driven. That's just the way I work. That's just the way my brain works. So, Psycho number one. This one I had to. I wanted to be an all in on Alterna. There was a time where my senses kicked in and I said, "Do I need to be all in?" I said, "Nah." So I missed 1 month of Alterna, and then I was like, "Fuck, I need to be all in." So I placed an order with mycomicshop.com and got the two number one issues that I didn't get. Psycho number one was one of them. I enjoyed it. I give it 3 out of 5. I am glad I read it. I'm glad I'm still back all in. Psycho is a hero in this universe and he just needs a vacation. He's like a skull-based superhero. He goes with his girlfriend to enter a surfing competition with his enemy, Kudo Kano. Kudo Kano wins. It's a surfing competition, but only by using a squid to capture him. So it's Psycho might have won this surfing competition, but a huge squid underwater he commanded, and he actually ended up winning. He goes with his girlfriend to enter a surfing competition. Oh, what am I trying to say? They have another surfing competition, this time with no witnesses, on lava, and Psycho wins. It's lighthearted and fun, so I enjoyed it. We then get into Sex Death Revolution. I give it a 3 out of 5. A witch is removed from her position in a coven. Her and her lover tried to form another coven to no avail, and I think that was her female lover. Her lover realizes that things with Esperanza are not as they seem, and someone seems to be manipulating her history. I think Esperanza is a transgender, by the way. I don't know if her girlfriend is. I think Bill Bomer thought that they were both transgender. I get the vibe that Esperanza is transgender and the other one is just another female that's in love with this transgender person. It was a very good, interesting story. I think it has more potential to climb up the ladder for me. We'll see how that goes. The next is a SourcePoint Press book. It's Ogre Number One. This is a realm where the South is fighting the North and losing, and this is like a Dungeons and Dragons type fight. In one of the last southern castles, there are prisoners. One of them, an ogre, who has attached to him a dead man, basically on a chain, and they're imprisoned together. Another prisoner comes in, and a fireball sets them free out of their prison to be hunted by people in the castle. They end up slaughtering those that are hunting them. We then get into the 4 out of 5's Whispering Dark Number One. An Apache helicopter is downed when trying to save Army Rangers, and the lead officer is killed and falls on the next in line to lead them out of the enemy lines. She and her unit have to kill 3 young soldiers and take their stuff. There is a weird drug that they use that keeps them alert. It is causing them to hallucinate, and I put a question mark because I don't really know if it's the drug or something else mystical that's causing them to hallucinate. A really good story, 4 out of 5 from Dark Horse Comics. We then get into Nina and Ariel. This is a Kickstarter. Love this Kickstarter. It was one of the best value Kickstarters I've ever had. I got a poster, I got cards, I got a t-shirt, I think, and a comic book, which was like double sized for like $20-$25. That's fantastic for a Kickstarter. Matter of fact, a t-shirt costs like $25. So this is an Ed Benes Kickstarter. It's about when a war destroyed most of the earth and there is an Eden, but it is very expensive to live in, and most of the people are stuck down on Earth. Ariel is stuck in this hellhole and decides to have sex with an ally of hers. He's also a young guy. She then heads out and slaughters many rapists as they were attacking Nina. Nina's an innocent girl. She is young and she wants to follow Ariel. She's actually I idolizes her, but Ariel won't have anything to do with it. She saves her again at a bar and then leaves and is captured by mercenaries and her lover Nick. So the guy she had sex with actually hired these mercenaries to capture her. And this is where it gets weird. I don't know if I like this part or not. Nick is dying, so he didn't want her to suffer. So where's this logic? So he wanted her to die with him as he died. So he had these mercenaries go out and get her. A very weird story. Ariel has to kill Nick with her legs as she is hanging. Nina and Ariel are a team now, and they are now going to Amazonia. So a very fun issue. I've already worn the t-shirt twice. I love the t-shirt. I love the way it fits. I love the iconic images, although they're girls in short shorts and guns. It's like a Thelma and Louise with the cheesecake on my t-shirt. But in a post-apocalyptic world. So we get Batman number 59. This is a 4 out of 5. Penguin convinces Batman that Bane is pulling the strings in Gotham and in Arkham Asylum. Penguin is linked to the women that Mr. Freeze was thought to have killed. Batman goes to Arkham and beats the crap out of Bane until Gordon interrupts. Batman hits Gordon. He is losing it, and Bane is happy about it. And I think at the end of this issue, if it's not the next issue, Gordon destroys the bat signal. That's kind of a big deal. We get into Poser number 2. This is from Waxwork Comics. Really a highlight for me in 2018, Waxwork Comics. This is a punk friends. The punk friends are dealing with the death of their friend that was killed in that concert in the first issue. And then the poser killer shows up and kills 2 more people. Also, the main character gets drunk with a guy that just got out of prison and looks like they are going to get attacked by multiple killers wearing the poser outfit. So we'll see how that goes. We got Riptide number 1. A comet is messing with the gravity and is causing the ocean waters to secede, so all the boats and animal life are being destroyed. They thought the comet was going to have no effect. A matter of fact, NASA was like, nothing to worry about here. And then the scientist goes, oh, fuck! We calculated wrong! So the story focuses on three females that are actually taking a break from college and that are involved in this when the ship, the water gets sucked back and the ship kind of lands on its side and they're just trying to survive in this backlash. And who knows when the water comes back what's going to happen. Nightwing number 41 and 43. You can see 42, I gave a 2 out of 5. That was a break. But 41 and 43 were the conclusion to the Judge series, and Nightwing and his allies managed to capture him and put him in a water prison. Really enjoyed Humphrey's run on Nightwing. I really did. I really liked it. The second one is the Nightwing wanting to take the night off and chill with some Netflix. When he gets a call from Damian and Roy to help defeat the League of Assassins and Cheshire from destroying the oxygen in Gotham. Also, another fun series. We get into another DC comic, a Vertigo, Hex Wives number one, a witch's coven through time is hunted by men. Eventually, the men find out they can't kill them, so they make them housewives, and it looks like it takes place in this small town in the 50s and 60s. We got Juke Joint number one. There's a voodoo happy spot, and it's kind of like a place where people go to drink, have sex, and have fun, led by a voodoo priestess, and she kills people that don't obey the rules in her illegal bar and feeds them to her women, who are like succubuses, kind of, but like voodoo New Orleans succubuses. That's what they seem like to me. She was a One of the women was abused by a man before and will not be abused again. Oh, that's the voodoo priestess. So a woman seeks help against her husband, and she gives her some stuff that seems to have turned him into a tree. Almost like Master Dark, if you were into that event. They turn Master Dark into a tree. We get another thing from Waxwork, a 4 out of 5. So these are all 4 out of 5, starting with Whispering Dark. We have House of Waxwork 1 and 2. The first story is about a family going away to a cabin to get a board game and get sucked into this horror world where they must escape from or be trapped in the game forever. So it's just like, what if you and your family were just gonna go have a good time out in the woods in a cabin and you buy a board game and you're gonna play this board game and you get sucked into this horror board game? That's what this story is about. The second story is about a guy who gets out of prison to go work at a lighthouse, and it's not Aquaman's father, by the way, it's just a guy, but finds out he is still trapped in prison. Then a Donny Cates story about, so you Donny Cates fans need to seek out one of the House of Waxworks because he has a story in it. Where he's this his story was the best, by the way. This is a story about a guy who sells falsities to carnivals, you know, like things like a skull of a three-headed man or, you know, just weird shit like that. And he goes to this carnival and he's like, well, I can sell some stuff, you know, sell some bullshit to you so you can put up in your freak show. And this collector that collects things at the carnival is like, I want to tell you the story of the Nowhere Wolf. And he tells this guy the story and then he takes him over to this cage and he's like, see the Nowhere Wolf? And he said, that's the best scam ever. You have an invisible wolf that nobody's gonna see, but they'll believe this story. And then the guy pushes him into the cage and the Nowhere Wolf slaughters him. And then he has all those artifacts that the guy was selling him so he could put up on display. Kind of cool. Kind of a cool story. It's an anthology. Very fun. The next one is about a comet that goes over to, so this is issue two, goes over the Earth and is going to kill people, but a scientist invents a cure, but the people will temporarily turn into zombies, but two survivors don't know this and they kill their loved ones. That was a very interesting story too. So very cool stories, highly recommended for horror fans and fans of anthologies. To check out House of Waxwork number one and two. I just bought number three. Had to go find it. We have The 5 out of 5s for that week. We have the Wildstorm 18. Lynch convinces Slayton backslash to go after IO. Angie Spica leaves the Wildcats to go work for the Authority, which is Hawksmoor, Jenny Sparks, and Swift. Bendix wants to kill Miles Craven of IO and recruited Dr. Hellspot. So you could see a lot of different flavors of these characters in this Warren Ellis told story are being told differently, but very true to form in terms of their characters in this particular world. Very interesting story. Fans of the Wildstorm characters should be reading this. Fans of conspiracy and multi-plot, convoluted plot lines, if you were into the Avengers Jonathan Hickman run, I think you would enjoy the Wildstorm. We got Secret Six number 3. This is me revisiting the Secret Six. The Secret Six are captured by the Society and tortured by the Crime Doctor. Catman manages to escape and free his team. Deadshot kills Hyena. Cheshire promises Catman some sex. Parademon actually likes being tortured. Very cool issue. Loved it. Gail Simone at top notch. 5 out of 5. So the 5 out of 5s that week were the Wildstorm 18 and Secret 6 number 3. We're going to get into week December 3rd through December 9th. We have only 21 comics read. We have 3 Marvel and 18 DC. We'll start at the 3 out of 5s, which means I liked it. Amazing Spider-Man 117. Pretty low for an Amazing Spider-Man, but we'll see why. Peter has to protect civilians as Smasher brought down a whole building on supporters of the mayoral candidate. At this time, MJ and Gwen are friends. MJ makes a creepy remark about being attracted to the candidate, the mayoral candidate. J. Jonah Jameson is for the mayor candidate, and it is hard because Spider-Man is protecting him, so he's having to deal with, I hate Spider-Man, but I'm for this candidate that Spider-Man's protecting. Second attack is from the Disruptor, and Spidey foils that attempt. Seems next issue his stooge, the Smasher, is going to have another run-in with our favorite web-slinger. So I gave that a 3 out of 5. We then get into Nightwing 48 and 49. Dick has to raise... This was a weird arc. And I think I went down in this arc because it seems like the writer had a vision for this arc and they just ended it because Tom King shot Dick in the head. It's very abrupt, but this is Dick has, it's almost like Wacky Races. Dick has to race in this mysterious race of Harm's Island against Silencer, Professor Pig, Flamingo, and others to save William and Vicky Vale to get his wish by winning the race. And before this issue, Vicky Vale was in danger. He is trying to save them from the worm, and does win the race and saves them with the help of the Silencer. Silencer actually wants to take down Leviathan. Leviathan is a big player in Batman Inc. and also a big player, I think, in Grayson. So we then get into the 4 out of 5s. Green Lantern number 2 by Grant Morrison. A new volcano head Green Lantern was enjoyable. I really like this guy because he talk, and it was like he's spurting out lava and it's a crack, and then he'd do a word, and then he'd explode again, and another word would come out. I thought it was hilarious. Hal questions the spider pirate about the casino that was in the previous issue. It was a casino heist. Black Star frees Evil Star only to sap his energy and steal his weapon in which he is looking to sell. Hal returns to Earth and finds it gone. Black Star is kind of a Dark Star. You'll see the costume of a actual Dark Star, and those of you who have been reading space books like Dark Star, Donna Troy was a Dark Star. And you read that sci-fi series in the 90s, you'll know what I'm talking about. We got Deathstroke 21 and 22. Willow kills the Master. Willow, you'll find out who that is. It probably won't surprise you. We'll talk about that later. Adeline forms a team: Deathstroke, Jericho, Kid Flash, Terra, Ravager, Ravager. It's not Revenger because that's another character. Matter of fact, I spelled it wrong. Ravager and Power Girl. And this isn't the Power Girl that we all know with the circle around her boobs. This is the Power Girl that they introduced in the Teen Titans and in World's Finest, and she's incredibly smart. She thinks she Willow thinks she's in charge, but I don't know who I'm saying this. Adeline. Okay, Adeline, his wife, thinks she's in charge, but maybe Deathstroke is pulling the strings. Defiance contacts Cyborg and the Justice League to tell them to stand down for this particular mission that they are. The police find the body of Pablo Escar, also known as the Grocer, that was killed by Willow. Defiant that will come into play later on. Defiance fights the Radiant Men and defeats them. Deathstroke asks questions about how to stop and summon the society because he can't be evil anymore. Since he got the Speed Force for a while, he's like, I'm not going to do evil anymore. At least that's what he leads you to believe. They actually, Dr. Light might get back into the game. They actually talk about to Dr. Light because he thinks he can get back to talking to the society because they've been summoning him, saying he's out by talking to Dr. Light. Dr. Light is like, I can't help you. We get a DC comic from the Blast from the Past before Vertigo was Vertigo. There was a comic called Wasteland. This is a story of an African woman suffers much and questions her God. And it's a whole journey about her losing everything in life and then finally going across the world trying to seek her God when she climbs the tallest building in the United States, runs into a guy that's working there, and he says, "What makes you think you're better than any of us? We all suffer." And then she just like, "Holy crap, like, why does God make us all suffer? Like, you're not ever gonna find God by looking for him. We all and saying like, I'm not the only one that suffers. Everyone suffers." It was a pretty heartbreaking issue. Also, I like those issues that talk to religion, and this is a cool issue. A child asks Santa Claus for the head of Idi Amin, and you know that this is an African leader that killed a lot of people, and Santa actually does go get the head of Idi Amin. He has to go in a time machine and go back in time and get him. A woman is really depressed with life, and she was abused by her father and ends up taking her own life. You're probably like, what the fuck is this? It's an anthology of craziness. And I think some of the stories were Jon Ostrander and Del Close. And one of the comics that when I was in high school, no, college, I think that Barb was reading, Unbelievable Deadpool, number 12 and 13, Gwenpool, sorry, 12 and 13. Gwen and her partners are taken to a castle where they must join forces to escape Arcade. Yep, the X-Men villain. Alongside Deadpool, the team is able to defeat Arcade. Gwen helps her co-worker get a job with Parker Industries. Now her focus is to turn her friend that died, that is now a ghost, back into a human being. We got Sergeant Rock, number 358. Sergeant Rock tries to protect kids with wooden. The kids actually have wooden guns, and he's trying to protect the kids from getting killed from a tank, but they end up protecting him. There's also a two-page spread about a bomb disposal unit does, and this is like a real historical lesson on what the British guys used to disarm weapons that didn't explode. There was a group that used to do this in Britain, and that's what their specialty is. So if a bomb landed and hit a building, their job was to go look at the bomb, find out why it didn't explode, and make sure it doesn't explode. We then have a Nazi and an American fogman are fighting underwater, and the American dies. The blood is everywhere, so the shark kills the Nazis because of all the blood that's in the water. Another story of a child in a war between the Normans and the Saxons, so it takes you back. not away from the World War II and gets into like a medieval times with the Normans and the Saxons. We get into Batman number 60. Penguin is taken to the cave for the Bat Cave for protection from Bane. Thomas Wayne goes after him. Meanwhile, Batman is beating the crap out of villains that have recently left Arkham to find out if Penguin is really telling the truth about Bane. None of those villains are confessing to anything. Gordon has lost all his faith in Batman, and he finds out that the Beast lived. You find out the Beast actually, KG Beast lived through the beating that Batman gave him, left him to die. And then it ends on the cliffhanger, which I already kind of exposed with Thomas Wayne being in the cave and looking at Penguin like he's gonna beat the crap out of him. And you know Thomas Wayne is involved in this whole Bane bullshit because of Batman 50. So that was a 4 out of 5. We get Nightwing 44 through 47. So we already talked about 48 and 49. This actually led into the story arc of 48 and 49, but these were much better. Nightwing is sick of technology. William Cloak is a new customer for Dick as he needs a physical trainer. So this is a time when Dick Grayson is a physical trainer in Bloodhaven. A new dark web villain is killing people with their technology, mainly cell phones, and Dick has to work with Barbara to fight Worm, who has also infiltrated the company Mirage, owned by William Cloak. They have to distribute virtual reality devices to everyone in Bloodhaven, so that company is offering all these virtual reality devices for free. Dick thinks he is sleeping with Babs again because, but it is the device attached to the back of his head. Barbara creates a device to firewall Worm transmissions into Dick's brain. They stop William and Worm from turning Bloodhaven into Bloodhaven 2.0, but it looks like Worm has escaped to Gotham. It's a great arc by Percy and Mooningham, and it led into that wacky racist story arc because he's still seeking Worm, and that's where it sort of had a conclusion, but it didn't. It was weird. Let me know what you think about reading that. I thought these leading up were fantastic, and then it kind of petered out because it's almost like they're like, well, what the fuck are we going to do to deal with Nightwing being blown, his brains blown out? They get into the 5 out of 5s. Men of War, Gravedigger stops the racist lieutenant from blowing them all up when they are trying to take out the Panzer tank in the mountainside. He does manage to save that lieutenant, the racist lieutenant, from death, and gets a flamethrower to take out the tank. A scene of Major Birch in a wheelchair who wants to go back to war, but they will not let him go back, so he is suicidal. The second story is about an American reporter that goes to London to report. It wasn't an enemy ace backup. He meets up with a British reporter who listens to pilots in a bar tell stories. The American wants these stories to be fact, and he's like, "Well, how can these pilots be telling the truth? How do you know him? I'm a fact checker. You don't fact check this." And he's like, "Hey, we need to tell these stories, and it helps keep up morale of our soldiers in these times of war." So this reporter, this American reporter, goes out at night as they are getting bombed, and the anti-aircraft gun actually hits one of the buildings in London. So the Nazis are actually bombing London, and these anti-aircraft guys are fighting it. Boom, 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 boom. And as they're fighting, they actually knock out one of their own buildings and kill innocents. This reporter wants to report it, so he brings back this story to the publisher. The publisher reports the stories. The glory stories that the guy found in the bar, but refuses to publish the story about the truth. And they don't want the negative morale to affect the soldiers or the enemy to know anything bad, because the enemy can also see these newsprint articles and think that they're winning. So the psychological of reporting during a war. We have Nightwing number 50 through 54. Absolutely love this change, love the art. Love this direction of Rick Grayson, and it makes sense to me based on that he was shot in his head and things wouldn't quite be right. It worked for me on so many levels. It got me very, very excited. The aftermath of Dick getting shot in the head and now wanting to start a new life as Rick Grayson. His loved one, specifically Babs, wants to bring him back, but he refuses. There is a cool backstory of him as Robin and his first encounter with the Scarecrow. Scarecrow plays a very big part in this arc, too, and I haven't seen how it plays out because I haven't read the latest issue. He now has a job as a taxi cab driver in Bloodhaven. I love the movie Taxi Cab Driver, but with Robert De Niro, so this is probably one of the reasons I like this scenario. And he likes to hang out in bars and gamble. Alfred goes to talk to Rick in the bar, and he is hurting because he does not remember anything as Nightwing. He does keep remembering fighting in flashbacks and having nightmares. He is held up while driving his taxi, and muscle memory kicks in, and he beats up the guy up. Meanwhile, Detective Speranza finds the Nightwing hideout after it was blown up and becomes Nightwing. Rick Grayson is now sleeping in other people's houses. Like, that's how he's surviving. He feels bad about beating up the guy, and it is on the building and falls off, and his Nightwing abilities kick in. The body of the guy who was drowned and taken to forensics, and they open him up, and has a strange gas over it comes over them. So there's a guy, the body they find, and this is like a Scarecrow gas. They attack Detective Elsie Savobot. She's the main one character detective that's been in Bloodhaven in many of these arcs, as she had a phone call when the gas was released. She ends up having to kill the doctor and these particular people that were exposed to the gas. Detective Speranza, he's another guy. He's the one that found the Nightwing costumes, invites his friends to become Nightwing vigilantes because there's a lot of different costumes. Rick's boss calls for help. He's a taxi cab driver. When he arrives, Rick runs into the new Nightwing, and they both have to rescue his friend and boss. A gang was going to take his cab, money, and sell organs. I mean, like, internal organs, like sell kidneys and hearts and all that stuff. And they were going to use his boss. The new Nightwing shows up, all bloody, at his friend's house, the firefighter's house. So most of these Nightwing characters are either firefighters or policemen or detectives that are kind of saying, we have to be vigilantes in order to make Bloodhaven safe again. But when he shows up at the firefighter house, and then Rick goes on a date with a bartender that he hangs out with and had a great time. Also, Scarecrow attacks a substance abuse help group. Dr. Crane, posing as another doctor, is treating Rick. He is fascinated because he shows no signs of fear. He releases him from treatment, but the abuse help group. He releases him from treatment from the abuse help group. Dr. Crane, posing as another doctor. So they releases him from treatment because he had to have treatment after being shot in the head, and he's saying, okay, now can be released, and it actually is Dr. Crane. Team Nightwing is taking one more crime and making a difference. They're fighting one crime at a time. One of the members has doubt in what they are doing. The relationship is growing between Rick and the bartender. Absolutely love this storyline. This book became a 5 out of 5 for me as soon as I hit 50, and I'm very looking forward to more tales of Rick Grayson. And all these cops, I love when change, like, invigorates a title. In this case, it invigorated for me. So, I love the Dixon run. Love it. I love Devin Grayson's run, which was controversial, especially when he was raped on the building. When Tarantula raped him. I loved all that. I really, really enjoyed Kyle Higgins' run. I didn't like Grayson very much. So when he didn't become... When Tim Seeley and Tom King did Grayson, where he was an agent, I didn't care for that. I mean, there was some highlights for me, but overall, I didn't care for Grayson as a title. And then in Rebirth, it started off with Tim Seeley, and he started to bring back elements of Devin Grayson and Chuck Dixon's run, and I started to latch on again. And I think he ended up pretty strong. His title was good. And then we have Sam Humphries come, and I forget who the other guy was. Mooningham and the other guy. And I really latched on to those stories, except for the way it petered out at the end. And then this run, absolutely fantastic. So that's where I stand on Nightwing. I've pretty much enjoyed a lot of the runs. I mean, there's been some low points. For me, I didn't care for Grayson. And Tim Seeley runs had some low points for me. But some of the other writers, man, they really clicked. That video game one shot was really a low point for me personally. You might have loved it if you dig that kind of stuff. And I encourage you to read it. See for yourself. Don't listen to me. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. So I'm gonna stop there because this episode is turning out to be way, way long. So I'm gonna put an asterisk by this, and I'm gonna say start here for next. And I just may do that one tomorrow and just make it a shorter episode. Those questions lasted me a lot longer. So I'll have to do those two, and then I'll pretty much be caught up. So keep sending me questions. I hope you all have a wonderful new year. I hope you have health and happiness, more important than anything. I hope you have success in your career. I hope you have success with your family and your relationships. I hope that good things happen to you and you bring on good things to others. And that's all I can wish for. I hope you enjoy this new year. I hope I have a good new year. Everybody hopes that. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's send me emails. I get those occasionally. They're always fun to read because there's more substance in an email. You can also reach me on the Twitter, which is the most successful way to reach me, at Mike Myers Brunch. Please send me questions anytime. I will queue them up. I want to thank Nick Wetmore and Kirk for providing some discussion points that I wasn't expecting because I kind of called for them last minute. And I really appreciate them. Oh, and Drew, what am I doing? I'm forgetting Drew. A quick shout out to the podcasts that I absolutely love. These podcasts provide me with hours of entertainment. They almost keep me. I'm still looking for one podcast to fill this hole, but between Nerdy Legion, Comic Talk Today, Comics for Fun and Profit, and then the podcasts that are on Comic Book Page, they keep me pretty well occupied. So check those podcasts out. I really enjoy them. I think you will enjoy them too. At least try them and see if they work for you. They work for me. The only one that really caters to like the format that I really love, which is absolute chaos, is Nerdy Legion. I kind of have that format in this podcast, but indirectly, and it's always comics related. But there's a lot of chaos in my podcast and the way I think. And I like that. I never know what I'm going to get. So check that out. And the website is geekbrunchpodcast.com, where you can find Mike M's Weekly Reads, Mike M's Collector's Corner, and Geek Brunch and Geek Brunch Retro. Make your way over to DCNoisePodcast.com, and that will lead you to me and Kyle discussing DC Spotlights. We try to do one every 2 weeks. We've been over, I think, making goals that are longer because it's me catching up, and then we'll have like a 7-issue arc of a back issue. Maybe we need to spin it down a little bit so we don't cover it all at once, just so we can do things more frequently. But check that out. Let me know what you think about DC Spotlight. Hope to do those more frequently. And we will talk to you again very, very soon. Happy New Year and have a great 2019. Bye-bye.